My guest, Mark Haddon, is the author of the new novel, The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime. It's told from the point of view of a 15-year-old boy who has a type of high-functioning autism. Now, I've read that you worked with people who had autism. Is that right?
That's true. After university, I spent a few years working with both children and adults with a variety of physical and mental handicaps. Even at the time, autism was a fairly kind of loose and conjectural diagnosis. And it's only now looking back that I realized that some of those people were autistic. Although I have to say, all of them were much more severely disabled than Christopher is.
What was your job?
I had a variety of jobs. My first job when I left university was to work as a live-in volunteer with a young man who was crippled with multiple sclerosis, and he needed constant attention. We, two of us, lived in his house and did 24 hours on, 24 hours off, looking after him. And from then, I moved down to London and did a series of part-time jobs, helping with kids and adults, both in training centres and at home in their families.
What got you into that work?
What got me into that work was spending 3 years at Oxford University and feeling that I'd kind of eaten too much birthday cake, and I needed some kind of compensation to set myself right again. I'd had 3 years of you know, hard work, but in a fairly luxurious setting in which you know, if you're a student at a prestigious university, you're kind of the centre of attention and you think you're pretty important. It was really nice to go out there and do what I thought of at the time as a proper job in which I was helping other people for a change. And I really felt it restored some kind of inner balance to my life.
I'm thinking that you might have learned a lot of things about yourself by working with people with disabilities, because since some of those disabilities were cognitive, you might have had to change things about yourself in order to communicate to them in a non-threatening way.
Funnily enough, I think I've learned more about myself by being a writer. I mean, the nice thing about working with people with disabilities is that you don't think about yourself. You know, you have to be patient, and you have to think about someone else all the time.
No, but that requires thinking about yourself, particularly if you're not patient. Do you know, that would be like an immediate diagnosis there. I am not patient, therefore I have to learn how to be patient.
Well, I can be quite a patient person, so I quite enjoy doing that. Mm-hmm. But I think the time when I've really started to learn about myself is the hours on end you have to spend as a writer just thinking quietly in a room on your own. And I think actually for many people that would be a harder thing than working with people with disabilities, being in your own company that much.
You know, the story is written from Christopher's point of view, but reading it you can't help wonder about how difficult it must be for Christopher's parents, because there's such a burden on them to make the world manageable for him. And to give so much of their time to creating a manageable world for him. And the parents aren't getting along. They're having problems themselves. Some of those problems are because of differences in opinion about how to deal with Christopher. So even though Christopher has no empathy, as a reader, you have to start thinking about what it must be like to be one of his parents.
That's true. And although I said earlier there will be no right depiction of someone with Asperger's, because people with Asperger's are a huge and varied group, having met a lot of parents of kids with disabilities, I think there is a kind of general picture of what happens in many, many families who have a child like Christopher. And as I said to someone recently, it's probably very similar to having a child who's special in other ways as well, a child who's peculiarly gifted. Again, I've seen families where one parent, and it's usually the mother, devotes their life to looking after this child, and that child becomes their life project, and the other parent feels pushed to one side, and as if they have no role. And I've seen many, many families break up for precisely that reason. It causes other problems as well, in that as the child grows older and wants to become adult, you find that the parent who's given their life to looking after them has a vested interest in them staying as a child, and that causes huge difficulties.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Mark Haddon. His new novel is called The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime. Mark, do you have a dog?
No, I don't. I have one cat, and that's all.
No, because I was thinking that the idea of a dead animal might be particularly upsetting to you.
It does, and in fact, I am a vegetarian, and on the whole, I'm very kind to animals, but I have a rather sort of dark English sense of humour. And when I wrote that first page with the dog impaled on the fork, I found it quite funny, but I found it quite funny only if I described in this flat, emotionless, toneless voice, which I really liked, and which, over the next few pages, became Christopher's voice.
What did you like about that flat, toneless voice?
What I like about it is perhaps best explained by saying, if you hear a really good comedian is funny because they don't laugh at their own jokes. And the converse is true as well. If someone's telling a very sad story, it's somehow sadder and more moving if they're not moved by it. That stops it becoming sentimental. And that's what I really liked about Christopher's voice. It's both funny because he doesn't seem to understand why it's funny, and it's more moving because he doesn't really understand why things are sad that are happening around him. And that stops the whole thing becoming sentimental.
Why don't you read that opening paragraph that Christopher narrates about the dog?
It was 7 minutes after midnight. The dog was lying on the grass in the middle of the lawn in front of Mrs. Shear's house. Its eyes were closed. It looked as if it was running on its side, the way dogs run when they think they are chasing a cat in a dream. But the dog was not running or asleep. The dog was dead. There was a garden fork sticking out of the dog. The points of the fork must have gone all the way through the dog and into the ground because the fork had not fallen over. I decided that the dog was probably killed with the fork, because I could not see any other wounds in the dog, and I do not think you would stick a garden fork into a dog after it had died for some other reason, like cancer, for example, or a road accident, but I could not be certain about this.
Yeah, a part of his mind seems to be like your forensics mind, and the other part seems to be just kind of loopy and not really very intuitive at all. I guess that leads me to think, like, how do you size up a mysterious and shocking situation when you see it? Where do you look for clues? And what do you make of it? And he's both approaching it in a very logical forensics kind of way. He's also thinking strange thoughts like, I don't think you would stick a garden fork into a dog after it died for some other reason, mm-hmm. like cancer or a road accident. I mean, that's true. That's kind of inarguable, but it's a kind of strange thing to be thinking.
It's a very strange thing to be thinking. And I think that's why I found the voice so funny. Although I have to say that this seems to be another aspect of Christopher's voice, because he doesn't try to push the reader one way or the other, trying to make them feel this or that about what he's said or what he's seen. Some people have read the book and wept their whole way through it and found the whole thing sad and the ending sad. And other people I've talked to have found it very funny the whole way through. So that people have completely different reactions to the same book.
Mark Haddon, thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Mark Haddon is the author of the new novel, The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime.